know what time it is.
You know what it is.
Welcome to the Culture Podcast.
Welcome to the Culture Podcast.
A podcast inspired by and representing for the culture.
Just been a fan of the culture and the authenticness of it.
Everything from hip hop.
What's up, y'all? This is J. Cole.
Yo, it's Ice Baby.
It's Kendrick Lamar.
It's the baby.
Sports.
Mahomes looking to flip, takes it in for the touchdown.
Urban life.
It's heat up right now.
And everything in between.
Let's go.
The show starts now with your hosts, Jeff and Anthony.
Yo, yo, yo. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Culture. It's been a little minute. It's been probably, what, like a month since we done dropped something? The fuck are you doing, man?
The Y, the D, the I, the D, it's Diddy.
Diddy. No Diddy, no doubt. We ain't talking about Diddy today, though.
I know.
Shout out to the culture crew, man. Staying loyal to us and being patient. You know, we've had some things going on in our personal lives that prevented us from recording, but we back. We're going to try to flood y'all with some content for the next few weeks. Check out the website, theculture.one. And real quick, yo, for I know a lot of people don't like to read these days, but for those of you who do, we got a blog on the website, theculture.one. You know, there's some content on there. Some good articles that y'all could read. Again, for those that like to read. I don't know that many people that do like to read. This generation doesn't fucking read anymore, but
that's not a ringing endorsement. Like, for y'all that can like to read or can read.
It's for the ones that like to read. Because the ones that don't are just going to ignore that. That public service announcement. You know what I mean?
No, because I have this
call argument. Action.
It's not that. I have this argument with your sister.
She likes to read.
Right. And I do too, but I tell her I've never ever once in my entire life owned an ebook. I can't listen to a book. I have to read it. A lot of people I know don't read books. They just listen to them.
Fact.
That's it.
And they tell me to do that. And I'm like, I don't feel right listening to it because I, you know, like you're not going to learn the words. You're not going to expand your vocabulary by listening to somebody else pronounce words for you. Like you have to look at it. I don't know. That's how I feel. Like I got to look at the words, see how it's spelled, see what kind of context is being used.
But maybe that's the idea and the path that you're missing. That some of the things that you write, you should just do an audio file of it and just be like, do it that way.
Lazy motherfuckers.
It might make it easy for us. So sometimes you want to hear it and so on and so forth. It's like when someone, it's like when you're reading a horoscope and then someone's telling it to you, like, yeah, this shit easier, dog.
It's
like,
different.
Right. Yeah, like, yo, so what's happening in my sun, moon, rising, my G? And like, I ain't got to read through the shit. They just tell me, like, so that might be an opportunity for you. Like, sometimes, if it come to your mind, like maybe just take your phone and just hit record and just say it and then like play it back like, I can type this out or I can just send it off like that. Let people listen to it. Never know.
All right, man. We're in April of 2024. A lot of things has happened since last time we came on. Cody finished his story. Shout out to the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. I'm wearing his daddy's T-shirt. The American Dream, daddy.
That's still not the greatest WrestleMania ever, though.
Probably not. That's like the best one in a long time.
I wanted him to lose, though.
Because you like them villains.
No, I wanted him to lose and get it on Raw.
You like the villain to win.
No, I do like the villain to win, but
It's like 50 Cent said, I watch gangster flicks and root for the bad guy. Turn it off.
But then, because the bad guy
died.
I'd rather him won it at Raw. It was just because I really want to piss those Philly fans off. And because the like WrestleMania is for like the casuals. The Raw after WrestleMania is for the hardcore fans. Those are the ones that come week to week, watch all the programming, go see like the road shows, the house shows, stuff like that. Those are the ones that deserve to have that moment. Not that big ass stadium. And the problem is that because it's in a stadium, actually, two people I know went to it. And they said, the way it is on TV, it failed in comparison to how it sounded like that. When those lights cut off and Taker came on, as loud as it sounded like that, they said it was worse. Like you couldn't even hear. It was deafening. They said those lights cut out, they heard that gong, and everyone just screamed at the top of their voice. You couldn't hear nothing, but the TV didn't get it ass through. But Monday, I guess it was at the Wells Fargo Center, I'm guessing. Smaller place, hardcore fans. I'd rather him capture the belt there in front of everybody and kind of go forward with that. But was it good? I think every match, night two was superior to night one. There's no doubt about it. But he got to finish his story. And with all the shit going on with them and Vince and his fuck shit, like, y'all got to go down a different path. And I'm glad that it's this. There's only one thing I don't like about Cody. You ever seen a cable guy?
Yes, plenty of time.
Right, you know how he kind of like talks like this? Cody does that in an irritating.
He have a lisp.
I know, but it's like his mouth is always like, always open like, you
and it's
know.
Funny because there's certain words he can't say. Like when he was talking to The Rock and The Rock said, I'm going to come back and I'm going to come see you. And he told The Rock, I'm looking forth to it. I'm mm-hmm. looking forward. He couldn't even say the word. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's so. It's
but his dad spoke the same way.
Right, but he was this big, husky, country southern dude. Everything he's trying to had some sauce on it. It didn't make a difference. Cody's trying to be professional, which is good. It fits what they're trying to do. Now, I just want to see if he can carry the crown, because I know what you're saying about bad guys, but what Roman have been doing for the past 2 years is, 3 years is trade magnifique. That storyline, the bloodline, everything else went along with it, that title reign. Of course he wasn't going to break San Martinez or Hogan's. That's impossible.
Right.
That's a different style of wrestling, and no one wants to wrestle that long for... No. But to have that storyline carry pretty much professional wrestling for the past 3 years, and now it's over, and I don't think it's over. It's just going to go a different route, but kudos to everybody across the board. Rock, Roman, Cody, Triple H, Seth gave his body. Like, once Seth is healed, like, yo, Cody, we gotta run that fair one. Like, I'd had your back for like 2 months, bro. I've been beat up.
Need a title shot immediately, son.
ASAP. Like, we ain't doing no tournament. You give me a shot. I had your back. You owe me one. Here's my one. I'm cashing this in right now. That was a great cash in by Damian Priest. Priest. I said Pierce.
He's on the internet. He's been dubbed the bisexual Undertaker, and he's running with that too. He sees the comments, and he's like, you know what I mean? He's embracing that shit.
Hey, look, man, is he bisexual?
I don't know. I think he is though.
Why? Because we're making me dress up like that. That mean bisexual, just kind of like.
I don't know. He's a little moist. He's a little fruity.
Does he differ? That's the whole.
I'm not saying that offensively.
It just sound that way when you said that. Like, he'll live. I've learned not to call no man fruity or gay, anything else like that.
What about Diddy? You call Diddy fruity?
No, he just the diddler. That's it. But I don't even know what's going on with that.
The diddler, ten, 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 ten.
like diddle me this. Like, bruh, get the fuck with me. Sean, move it. But that's the whole, but with that situation right there, I don't really want to call nobody gay unless they are. I don't want to call nobody bisexual unless they are. Because people like say that shit and the thing that they associated with that. You know, as a perfect person's gay, means they soft. Like, nah, you got to remember, you call them a grown man gay. And that grown man still beat the shit out of you. Like, just because they gay don't mean that all of a sudden they don't know how to fight. Matter of fact, if you're gay, you probably got to fight more than most regular dudes have to. Because someone are trying to test you because you're gay. Therefore, nah, I don't know if he is. Like I said, and Damian Priest is like 6'4" and 255 pounds. He's not the kind of dude you want to check some bullshit like that out your mouth. I wouldn't want to do that. Like, hey, Mr. Priest, nice to meet you, boss. I want an autograph. Say congratulations on your win. Like, and they had the whole, like, vignette behind stage. Like, he's talking to the press. Triple H hugs him. Rock hugs him. Taker hugs him. Like, they all appreciate what he did. Like, they think the world of God. They think he's good. Like, what are you, like, a security guard for them before?
I think so.
I swore it was, like, a first match a long time ago. Like, he was, like, one of the black shirt security dudes. Like, and now he's a champ. Like, you can't beat that. That's right.
But all right, man, let's move on to some more serious topics, because we did lose two legendary figures, men, characters in the past week. And I say legendary, both of them are legendary, but for different reasons. And I'm going to start off with the first one, and I'm talking about DJ Mr. C, who suddenly passed away, radio DJ out of Brooklyn. Our condolences to the family. I remember him from High 97, and then, you know, recently he was on the block 94.7. Mm-hmm. the question I'm going to ask about Mr. C is, what is he going to be remembered for? What is his legacy? Is he going to be remembered for discovering Biggie? Is he, or is he going to, and I'm, and, you know, this is going to sound fucked up. And again, I don't mean no disrespect. Or is he going to be known for that DJ that got fired from Hot 97 for because of, you know, getting caught soliciting transgender prostitutes on multiple occasions? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's a big that, thing. Does that tarnish his legacy way?
No, no. Because you don't have the story of Big without Mr. C.
Right.
It like Big, everything that you have about his history, everything about, you know, his life, everything regarding his career. Mr. C is such an integral part of it. You can't be like, no, they can't leave that part out, because it. You don't have that without him, without that time.
Like, he was a good DJ, too. Aside from all the other books, he was a good DJ, but he always played Biggie stuff. He always made sure to rep Biggie at the clubs, at the party, on the station. You was always going to get a little Biggie medley. You know what I'm saying? Or he was going to introduce a new Biggie song. And for the longest time, I always confused Mr. C with Lil C's.
How?
Junior Mafia. I don't know why, especially back in the day, you know, we didn't really have internet or nothing. And you didn't see a lot of pictures of either one, but they were always both getting shouted out by Biggie, right? On interviews and songs, he would always shout out Lil C's or Mr. C, and the names sound similar.
Mm-hmm.
So I always confused the two. I'm like, which one is which? So Lil C's was from the Junior Mafia, that was his best friend, and Mr. C was the DJ that discovered him.
Yes. Two different. So yeah. C discovered Big, Big discovered C's.
Right.
Right. I can see I could be a little bit confusing through line. I think the transgender, the transsexual thing is one of them overblown things in hip hop. Like, we just get way too interested and excited talking about who the fuck somebody fucking. Like, I don't. Mm-hmm. I'm one of the people who just doesn't care, but I don't. It just always becomes a thing. And I was always like, so Mr. C likes transgender prostitutes. I don't care. Like, I had to really think about, like, I just didn't. Like, all right, so the man likes prostitutes. It's a lot of people out here like prostitutes. Man likes transgender prostitutes. It's a lot of people here probably like that too, but just don't say anything about it. He just happened to be a DJ on one of the, you know, highest rated stations in New York City, which makes you one of the highest rated radio stations in the world. So when they know that, everybody knows that, and everyone makes a joke about it. Just didn't care. He always seemed like a really good DJ. You know, he was the finisher, Mr. C. He always had, you know, that midday mix. He always was good at job. He was always professional. And always really, really, really a great radio presence. Like, I'm not saying he's integral to Hot 97, but he's integral to Hot 97 at that time. Because, like I said, That morning show kept shifting because was Ed Love in him there?
Yeah.
They was there for a while. Star and Buck Wild was there for a while. They kept changing. But those DJs, they stayed
Everybody
consistent.
Was Andrew
yeah,
was there.
Andrew was, but he was always the consistent one. And he always had something good in him. And, you know, the midday mix was kind of hard to hear.
At noon.
Yeah. Like, I'm at fourth period.
Mix that noon.
Yeah, this is that now. But as you got older, like, you know, you take a lunch break around then, you listen to radio, you put that on and so on and so forth. He was not like a mixtape guy or right. I need to record.
He wasn't Clue. He wasn't DJ Clue.
No, he wasn't Clue. He wasn't none of those guys. But he wasn't one of the people where, like, I need to record this or watch that. It was like, you know, when you had him on, you had a good time. So, you know, rest in peace to Mr. C, absolutely.
Yep. And the other death that took place precisely this week, a couple of days ago, actually, I'm talking about OJ, Orentho James Simpson. And
yeah, the guy who looks eerily like my father.
It was a polarizing figure. And, you know, in the wake of his death, I want to remember the trial, right? The OJ Simpson trial. Because, you know, that trial exposed America's racial divide. And it's 30 years later, it's almost to the day, 30 years later, has anything changed, right? Has anything really changed? And I compare this to 9/11, and not because, you know, I'm not saying one was more tragic than the other. I'm just saying there's two memorable, historic, and polarizing and sad events that transpired in American history that you remember. Like, you know exactly where you were at the time, right? Like, I could tell you exactly what was happening during 9/11. I can tell you exactly where I was and what I was doing and what was happening during the OJ trial. It was 1994. It was May of 94, and I was 10 years old. And the only reason I remember precisely the dates is because the New York Knicks were in the NBA Finals against the Houston Rockets. Right? So, and I'm watching, I'm 10 years old, and I'm watching the NBA Finals. I'm watching Patrick Ewing having one of the best performances of his entire career, and then they cut it off. They cut off the telecast to show us the high-speed chase between OJ and the white Bronco and the police, right? And it wasn't even really a high-speed chase.
High-speed is a stretch.
It was just a chase. They were just following him.
A moderately paced follow.
Right.
Like, we're not breaking the speed limit at all,
right,
dog.
Right. It was OJ. He was getting away with shit. It was OJ, right? They wasn't throwing down no spikes on the ground. They wasn't trying to, you know, run him off the road. They wasn't shooting at him. It was OJ. They was just following him, trying to figure out where he was going. Mr. OJ, we need to have a word with you.
He goes to the crib. Is he going home? What the fuck, man? The thing that I remember about that is that those people were quick. Them people got in them bridges with run, OJ, run. In minutes, boy. Like, oh, he on the freeway? Oh, we're going. They got their marker, like, scribble that shit up right on the freeway, holding up signs. Run, the juice is loose. Run, OJ.
Well, I mean, I'm hesitant to say rest in peace, right? Because everything that's transpired, if anything, you know, rest in peace to Nicole and.
No, we ain't gonna do that.
All right.
Even in death, people deserve dignity. Just saying rest in peace, because whatever pertained and followed before this doesn't matter. You're gone now.
That's fair.
At this point, I hope you have peace from this point forward, wherever you may end up.
A lot of people want to know if he confessed on his deathbed.
Shit. I ain't telling y'all niggas shit.
Ain't nobody confessing shit.
I ain't tell you shit when I'm alive. I'm going to tell you when I'm dead. Confess what?
But.
Why you confess some shit we already know?
There was a lawyer or something that I recently read that he said that he believes OJ didn't physically do it himself, but he was there, right? Like, he either hired the person that did it. They mentioned some serial killer guy that had murdered a bunch of people before. And they saying that, you know, I guess he was cool with him or he knew him or whatever. He hired him, whatever the case. He was there with him. And then OJ got scared or, you know, there was a scuffle. And OJ cut his hand or something, so he ran out the door. He was like, fuck this, I'm out. So he ain't actually stayed long enough to witness the actual murder. So in his mind, OJ believed that he didn't do it because he wasn't fit. Like, he was there at the beginning and then bailed, and he wasn't physically there when the shit actually happened. So he ain't see what the rest of the shit that transpired. So he technically and physically didn't do it himself, but he had a hand in it. And I believe that.
Oh, they killed them people. Let that shit go. I don't give a fuck nobody talking about.
I was going to ask you, so he did it. Did he do it or not?
Hell yeah. We know OJ did that shit. We let that shit cook because the legal system is fucked against black people. We know OJ murdered people, man.
No, what are the reasons? And that's why I posed the question. Has anything changed? No. The 30 years since, has anything changed? Because we saw when the trial was going on, it was a lengthy fucking trial. And the news chase stations had the split screen, right? They had the split screens with the whites on one side waiting for the verdict, and then they had the blacks on the other side waiting for the verdict. And it was a complete contrast when the verdict was announced of not guilty. When they said not guilty, you see the white side all fucking distraught, crying, pissed off, and you see the side with all the black folks happy as hell, right? And it wasn't even because they believed that he didn't do it or whatever, or like you said, the injustices. But it was, if you remember, the Rodney King shit had just happened not too long before that, where the four policemen fucked up Rodney King and then got off.
It's four people beating the man with a nightstick talking about he resisting arrest.
They fucked him up to within an inch of his life. And then they had the cops on trial, all white, of course. And they were all found not guilty, right? So the African-American community was up in arms, uproar, outraged. So I felt like, in a way, this OJ shit was like a payback. Do you agree with that? This is how they felt. Like, yo, this is just payback. Not that we, you know, condone what he did. Not that we're saying he's innocent or not. But this is just a win against the police. Because you also, remember, there was some racist-ass cops in the whole OJ shit. Remember that shit? There was a cop using the N-word and shit like that.
Yeah, Furman. Because
Furman, racist motherfucker.
Is he saying some wild shit? Look, like, I always tell people, ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. It just ain't. You can go rabbit hunting all day. Get that rabbit shotgun.
According to the dog pound, ain't no fun if my homies can't have none.
Yeah, that's
the story.
That's, we need to have a whole pod about how the shit we used to listen to was just wild. Like, that's a whole song about running the train. Like, yeah. Dog.
But anyway, this was a victory for the African American community against the legal system, the judicial system, the police brutality that's going on and still goes on today. You know what I mean?
They just made us catch hell more.
The racist, mm-hmm. You know, it's,
okay,
racism that was going on and still going on.
It changed a lot. It changed television. 95 million people watched that slow ride. That's as many people as watched the Super Bowl.
Yes.
That literally, like, created almost like reality court TV show.
That was the beginning of reality TV.
Yeah. And it's in a courtroom every day. You have no idea what they're talking about. But you would come home and watch them talk about legal jargon, all this other kind of stuff. This lawyer, that lawyer, Judge Ito, no, Clark, Darden, all these people, like people you never heard of, now they become brand names, home names. And they're lawyers.
Yeah.
Honestly, that was the rise of the Kardashians. And that's the first time you ever heard of their pops.
Facts.
Unless you were in LA, you didn't really know the Kardashians
still,
like that.
30 years later, they're still getting asked about this.
From that. We still wanted if Khloe, OJ kid.
Facts.
You know, and the DNA test said no.
There was a soap opera actor who recently called into the Michael K show because they were talking about this topic. And he said that during that time, his coworkers told him this is going to be the end of us because they were switching off of the soap operas to show the OJ stuff, right? Whether it was the trial or the car chase. And, you know, during the 80s and early 90s, there was a lot of soap operas. There was like 10, 15, 18 soap operas on TV. Now there's only like, what, two or three? You know, I remember like General Hospital and Days of Our Lives and shit like that. The main one.
The classics.
Right. But that's only like two or three of them.
Right.
There was a whole bunch of them back then. But now people are gravitating more towards the reality TV, right?
Which is
you go around, follow, the cameras are following people's lives, see, and they sit down in front of it and they interview them. You know, it's dumb shit, but that's what people are gravitating to. You know what I mean?
It's so
reality based. It's still bullshit and scripted and fake, but it's reality based. It's quick dosages of shit. You know what I mean? And microwave era shit. Quick 20, 30 minute episodes. You get your fix.
It's soap operas with cheaper actors.
Right.
It's still scripted. We know how this is going to end. We know how to
Right. But it makes you feel like you're seeing you're a glimpse of somebody's real life. Right.
Correct. But it's not that. But no. That wasn't. But that's the whole thing.
But that's what OJ shit
the courtroom wasn't scripted. Like, he's on trial for his life. These weren't actors. You were real professional lawyers. But the way they framed it, filmed it, cut it, it made it seem like it's more action-packed than it is. You ever been on jury duty?
Yes.
It's boring as fuck. It is not like you see on TV. It's dull as shit. They made that exciting for no good reason. Talk about legal terms. They're bringing out the glove. They're talking about the blood marks and DNA. Like, okay. Another influence trial that the OJ trial had on today's society, period. We had zero fucking understanding or reasoning or idea of what DNA evidence is. Now, everybody think everything involves DNA. The man got his car stolen. Y'all got DNA. The woman got a purse stolen. Y'all get DNA. It doesn't work that way, goddammit. DNA is not a thing like that. We just like, oh, we pop it on and off. We know who's killing.
Look for them fingerprints. You better go through that car and find a strand of hair.
They introduced that. Now the shit's going wild. Somebody steal your car. You ask them, did y'all check the car for fibers? Is there any other hair there besides mine? No, you don't got that kind of testing, but that brought that to the forefront where it's a thing now, where everything is now DNA based. And it brought out the idea of like, who are our heroes? OJ was a hero to a lot of people before that shit happened. He's one of the first black, like, sports
He was transcending, you know, he crossed over, you know what I'm saying?
The Hurts guy.
good-looking African-American athlete, beloved by everybody, blacks and whites, clean-cut guy, you know, could do no wrong, actor. And then this shit happens. And then he puts together the fucking Avengers of lawyer squads, right? With the Kardashian, with Shapiro, with Johnny Cochran. And, Jewish dude? There was one more Jewish dude. I think he's the only one that's still alive.
Alan Dershowitz.
He's the only one alive still, right? Everybody else died of that motherfucker.
Oh, just like, I might go broke, but I ain't going to jail. Trust me.
And you know, it was strategic what Cochran was doing, because he made sure that, first of all, he made sure that the majority of the jurors were black, right? There was only two white jurors.
And he knew how to weigh the scale.
And those were the only two jurors. The two white ones were the only two that kept saying he's guilty. Every other juror who was black was like, nope, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. And that's why the trial was so long, because they couldn't convince the whites. And they finally did. At the end, the whites got fucking tired of being, you know, hidden away in a hotel for several months. They're like, fuck it, fine, not guilty. Get us the fuck out of here. You know what I mean? Otherwise, that trial would have still been going on today. Who the fuck knows?
Honestly, it's the problem that you have with a situation in a trial like this. Is that, and that's the thing, OJ was moderately famous. Not explicitly famous, moderately. Like, you knew him. But it's because your parents knew him because he was a great running back. Or your parents' parents knew him. No, let's go that way. Your parents' parents knew him because he was a great running back. Your parents knew him because probably the guy from the Hertz commercials. If he was black, you knew him because he was in Roots and seen some other shit. And if you like movies,
he was in the Naked Gun movies. The Naked Gun, yeah. Right. With Leslie Nielsen.
Right. He wasn't great, but he was a great... I'm not going to lie, he's probably in the top five of greatest running backs of all time. If you watch OJ run, I'm not lying. Trust me. But we're not talking about his athletic ability. We're talking about one night, two people. One is ex-wife, one the guy dating, somehow end up stabbed to death. That there's a trail of blood leading from where your ex-wife's home is, at least to your car. And then you go on a slow speed chase. It sounds kind of productive saying it that way. You go on a slow speed chase to go home.
Slow speed chase.
Yeah, slow speed chase to go home. Then you go and try for all those other things that are going on. And then in the end, you get acquitted and everything's fine. But it's not fine. Do you think that OJ will live a quiet-ass life after that? No. I think that's his biggest flaw, his vanity. Like, he had to write a book like, I didn't do it, but if I did, the fuck you mean if you did? Sit your black ass down. You just beat a murder rap. You're here pressing the goddamn button. And then you go back, then you go to jail for stealing your own shit. Mm-hmm. I don't get it, though. Like, his legacy is complicated as fuck. But we don't want to admit that, because some people are always like, they're going to clown OJ, but like, the way I feel about him, like, I know OJ probably did that shit, but everything being fair, fuck it. And that's not being cavalier towards the loss of life of two other people. Is that, you see, people of color getting railroaded by the system all the time, getting convicted of murders they didn't do, of drug deals that they had no part of, that for crimes they didn't commit. That they're just bullied and beaten into confessions to have them spend their lives away in jail. And there's no recourse, nothing that can be done about it. So do I feel bad that people lost their lives? Yeah. Do I feel bad that OJ got off? No, I don't. I think it's fucked up that this is what we call justice in our legal system. That a man I obviously think is guilty actually feel good about him getting off for said crime. But that's the kind of system that we built. So when you talk about the legacy of OJ Simpson, it's very convoluted because there's a lot of things and a lot of ways that people feel about him. If you're black, you're going to feel a particular way. If you're white, you are definitely going to feel a particular way. But what do you do about it? Now that he's gone, it's hard to kind of discuss it in hindsight because it's like, especially the last couple of years, he's been pretty quiet. I mean, I've heard of him recently because he's been on the Is What It Is show with Cam and him, like during the football season.
Right.
He's an analyst, but They took a calculated risk saying, like, you know what we're going to have O.J. Simpson here. Because nobody would touch him. Nobody wanted anything to do with O.J. Simpson.
Hell no.
Now he's going, like, okay, so what concept do you talk about him in as a kind of a low-key, a pioneering black man or someone who was known for the trial of the century?
And, you know, if it don't fit, you must have quit, right?
They tried it.
But the one takeaway from all of this shit is what I said at the beginning.
Don't kill white women?
No, like this, the trial exposed the divide in the country. and all these years later, three decades later, not much has changed.
No.
You know, you see politicians trying to buy, you know, the black vote and trying, you know what I mean? Trying to put every news station, it all damn near seems every time a black, you know, man gets killed by a police officer or something like that. You got the news stations immediately trying to put, you know, whites and blacks against each other because that's what brings the ratings. Right. And it feels like nothing really has changed. You hear the rappers are still talking about this shit and they rap songs just like Pac was 30 years ago. Police brutality and all of this. And we still hear, you know, we still see the same shit, except now the difference is that there's more cameras now. Right. Everybody has a smartphone. There's more cameras out on the streets. Everybody's a journalist. Everybody's recording some shit. So I feel like we see it even more now. It's always existed, but we see it more now. And I think that's, you know, that's an embodiment, a microcosm. The whole O.J. Simpson trial and the situation as a whole was a whole microcosm of the state of the country. And to this day, it still holds true. So that's, you know, look, I wanted to bring up his death as well, but I wanted to talk about the bigger picture that O.J. Simpson had, you know, had
the bigger picture is you got to be careful with these white women. I'm sorry to tell you that, but that's how it goes, brother. Look. You saw what happened. Look, what's homeboy? Jonathan Majors.
Yep. White woman.
They get him in a year probation. He's cool. I don't see his ass getting hired no time soon.
Disney, I think, already dropped his ass, right?
Yeah. And I had this very discomforting conversation with a black woman at the job. She's like, I really hate to say this, but if he did that stuff to a black woman, no one would have cared. And I'm like, I hate to say that I agree with you. I do. Because I know they don't protect black women enough.
That's a fact. Unless there was video footage, like when Ray Rice punched his girl in the elevator, there was video footage. Everybody was ready to look the other way until the video footage came out. Then you'd be like, oh, okay, we can't ignore it now, right? If there's no video footage, they would have ignored the shit.
The video footage of him was him putting her back inside the fucking limousine and him sprinting down the goddamn street like he Carl Lewis from trying to get away from her. It wasn't like, he was like cracking or something like that. He picked her up, put her inside the car, and Lou was just sprinting down the street. And funny thing, he was running looking like fucking OJ in a Hertz commercial, just hurdling shit. And that's the whole thing. The whole thing, like, you say that things have changed, they haven't. They just find different ways to punish you. And the thing, like OJ with Jonathan, they make you pariahs. They make you outcasts. Remember before, I said until it is what it is. You didn't hear nothing, and I mean really nothing from OJ, because nobody wanted anything to do with him. No shows, no radio, no nothing. Sadly, it's probably going to have the same thing happen with Jonathan Majors. Unless somebody really wants to take a risk on him, it's going to be a pariah. We understand you did this. We understand you got permission. We understand you're cool. We understand all things are clear. We want nothing to do with you. The thing that you want to learn from, take from OJ is that be responsible for the things in your life that are important and keep yourself out of situations that are not. If you're with someone, make sure you communicate whatever it is clearly, a situation, a problem that it might be, some make your life a little bit easier. If you don't, you might end up in situations like this. I'm not saying the lack of conversation ended up someone's death, but I'm saying the whole thing was toxic and it just wasn't healthy. That the idea of like maybe paying someone to kill my ex-wife would probably be better than letting her live. Kind of an issue all to itself. But like I said, no matter how you feel about him at this moment, at this point, you ask a person just to be at peace from this point forward, because you never know with this point forward in their life after death, it's going to proclaim. So for OJ, obviously, rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Orenthu James Simpson. I hope his conscience was at peace before he passed. You feel me?
Who knows? Shit, I'm dead.
And rest in power to DJ Mr. C, man. The legendary. That's going to be our show today, man. Go in the show notes, man. All the links is in there. Check out our YouTube page. Check out the website. The culture. Peace.
Thanks for listening to The Culture Podcast.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode.
For more info and updates, connect with us on our website, theculture.one, or on Facebook at The Culture Podcast 2020, or follow us on Twitter and YouTube at The Culture 2020.
I always follow them. Please subscribe to the show and leave reviews and comments where you listen to podcasts.